The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Hello, this is the Drunken Villager. You're listening to Nerdy Show with nerds and show.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Hex.
And we are about to play for you two Nerdy Show microsodes.
Back to back, it's a doubleheader.
Yes, why are we doing this?
You told me we should.
There's a couple reasons, chief among which is that I might sound a little weird because I got my wisdom teeth out a couple days ago.
I'm still shocked that you're still able to talk into the mic right now.
Well, I can't open my mouth very wide.
Oh.
So basically, we had to shuffle some things around, and this is what we're doing this week. But also, we're planning for some very big things this month.
Yes.
The biggest thing, July 27th, Nerdy Show Live is happening.
Boom.
And you may recognize the Nerdy Show Live branding from when we do things like movie marathons and our streaming events online. And this is something we've been working on for well over a year at this point, like a long time.
Yeah, this has been a long time running. I'm really proud that we're finally putting it together.
This is going to be basically a pilot episode of sorts for something that, if everything goes well, will be a regularly reoccurring thing. It's hard to describe, but basically it's a nerdy show in front of a live studio audience filmed at the Geekeasy in Orlando, Florida. The Geekeasy being the bar in the back of A Comic Shop. It's going to be, there's going to be audience interactivity, musical guests. It's like a talk show. It's like a panel show. It's like a game show.
But in the end, it's still a nerdy show.
Yeah. We're still figuring out the exact nature of it, but it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm sorry, I regret my vocal delivery right now. I can't be like, oh, my mouth just won't open
it's
wide.
It's going to be amazing!
Yeah, thank you, Hex. It's going to be amazing.
It is. It truly is. I'm really excited about this.
And pick up my Slack, please.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! No, but this is something that we've been working on for a long time. A lot of heads are being brought in to help make this amazing. We're bringing in a lot of people from the Nerdy Show Network to chip in, so this is definitely going to be something to look forward to. Unfortunately, since it is like the beta run,
yeah, it's
not
pilot.
Going to actually be live, but it will be available afterwards.
What he means by that is that it is live. We will make mistakes. It's in front of a live studio audience, but we won't be able to live stream it. We, in the interest of making sure that this isn't even more of a disaster than it could be, we're going to just do the pilot without live streaming. The next one we do, if this isn't so bad, we don't ever do it again. The next one we do will be an experiment in live streaming, and then if this does become a regular series, it will be live streamed every single time. We'll have internet interactivity and all that. But this one,
we want to work out the kinks without it being on the fly.
Yeah, but it's going to be uploaded to YouTube like right afterwards.
We want the first. It's going to be out the gate. We want you, the home viewer that cannot come into the studio to watch it. We want you to actually enjoy it.
Yeah. We know that all you beautiful listeners mostly don't live in Orlando. So,
right.
However, this is enough a notification in advance. If you want to, you can come to Orlando. We'll have an event page, a link to this episode's page, and you will be able to come to Orlando July 27th and see this Nerdy Show Live unfold and perhaps be one of our audience participants and all that jazz. Limited seating is available. I think we're only going to have at most 40 people.
Yeah.
This is just on here. We'll probably have some more official capacity thing online, but if you email info@nerdyshow.com and say, hey, I'm going to be there, we will reserve you a ticket. So just
boom. Your
let
seat
us know.
Will be saved.
Yes. And so Nerdy Show Live, it's going to, Hex, you're doing a much better job of injecting the excitement. I'm going to try to not talk about it because I feel like if I talk about it like this, I'm just going to
be like, okay.
Nerdy Show Live,
but seriously,
it's going to be so
I still can't overstate how excited I am for this, to be able to like have like an actual live laugh track when one of us makes a joke, I think that'll just be that's exhilarating. It's Nerdy Show plus plus. It's Nerdy Show to the next level, and I'm really excited about it.
And it's weird, and it's not normal. It's not like those podcasts where you watch a YouTube video of them recording a podcast. It's absolutely not that.
No.
And it's not a talk show. It's not any of those things.
No,
and
yet, I mean, it's a little bit of all of them. The closest it'll get to a talk show is it's going to be a parody of a talk show.
Right. But yeah, it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun.
Because I'm just going to interject right here. I love Conan O'Brien, but the worst thing that happened to him was him going back to television. Because he was so creative, so amazing while on the internet. The moment he went back to a show, he went straight back to the old same format. And it got boring real quick.
Yeah, people like that, but you know, that's not that we're weird.
he was doing really creative stuff and really innovative stuff while on the internet and with his last week on television before he got canceled. So it's like,
yeah.
And then it all vanished the moment he got back onto television.
So this will be something different and something crazy, and we hope you guys will like it. July 27th, Orlando, Florida, and then very soon afterwards on the internets.
But before that...
We got Microsodes. We got two Microsodes. The two Microsodes we're doing. Microsodes are 15 minutes dedicated to whatever you want us to talk about, and you can earn one by contributing to Nerdy Show because we are listener supported, and every $100 mark you get to choose a Microsode.
And without your money we go sad face. And yet somehow y'all have kept us in the green.
It's so nice. You guys are so nice.
We really appreciate you.
So the Microsodes we're discussing today are plant-based heroes and villains.
Huh.
Also Legos.
Neat.
And so that's what we're going to be.
I was a part of neither of those. But that's because I'm too busy.
You'll be excited to listen to these.
I'm excited to listen to them. I hope someone's talking about Groot.
I think there's some Groot.
Because he is Groot.
So first up is plant-based heroes. This is an episode that was preemptively titled Mean Green Mother.
Perfect.
Yes.
Welcome to a Nerdy Show Microsode. Every $100 you guys support us a month, the person who crossed that $100 mark, they get to choose a Microsode. That's us talking about something for 15 to 30 minutes, and it's something you choose. This Microsode is called Mean Green Mother, and it's requested by Big Bad Shadow Man. He wants us to talk about plant-themed heroes, villains, and monsters.
Ooh.
Hi, I'm Cap.
I'm Doug.
I'm Nina.
I'm Adam.
I'm Domi.
I'm Josh.
Plant-themed heroes, monsters, villains...
The chlorovillains, if you will.
Yeah, people are things with chloroplasts in their blood, turning light into energy.
Photosynthesizing.
Doing the photosynthesis.
Dude, you just made me think of another one. I'm writing it down.
Okay.
I can't even believe it. All right, here we go.
We've got an ongoing list. We did a little bit of pregame brainstorming here.
Didn't think too much in depth, though. This might just be like rattling names, name dropping, if you will. Like you would drop a plant.
We'll see what happens. It's a microsode. It's a free-form discussion. These things happen. Episode is titled, was titled by Big Bad Shadow Man after Audrey 2 from Little Shop of Horrors.
Mm-hmm. So clearly that's a good place to start.
It's a good starting point because
everybody's favorite alien plant.
I feel like I'm one of the only people, but I'm Little Shop of Horrors never quite did it for me. Like, I don't hate it, I just, it never quite got me the way other musicals did.
I mean, I haven't seen it as an adult. I remember watching it as a kid, and the only thing that really sticks out to me is the giant plant going, "Feed me, Seymour!"
Right. I think the problem is there's so many terrible musicals that when you go, that one's just all right, like, it makes it seem so much better than the rest. Because it is. Like, it's a lot better than Oklahoma. I'll say that.
Like,
It is the world's better.
Schaefer the Dark Lord doesn't cover Oklahoma in one of his burlesque acts. there's a video of him doing the dentist song.
That's my favorite.
Fucking fantastic.
I also haven't seen Little Shop as an adult, but you know,
it's better as an adult.
It's lots of dark humor. You know, like
adults,
that's.
I guess that's my dark humor wasn't my thing as a kid, obviously.
And and I mean, like the people who made it was great. Like Frank Oz and most of the people who worked on puppeteering Jabba the Hutt were all involved with this. We talked with Toby Philpott, and one of the other guys from Inside Jabba way back. I'll link to it on this episode's page, but. You know, they did some revolutionary, really cool puppet stuff in that film, and it was bringing that monster to life was a heck of an ordeal.
Didn't John Waters have something to do with the original musical itself?
It seems very likely.
Wasn't John Waters, no, completely different person, but...
It was written entirely by a plant.
Alan Menken actually wrote most most of the songs in collaboration with.
We can't be talking about musicals. We got to get on the back to plant. We got to get back to the plant. The Howard, actual Audrey too.
Howard Ashman.
That's the one. Howard Ashman.
Yes.
I was hoping I'd say Howard the Duck.
Which is not a plant. He is a duck.
He's a duck.
But there is a duck plant character.
Also, Howard the Duck is closely tied with Man Thing.
It's true.
Thank you,
it's
Adam.
True. Yeah.
True. The Everglades are the nexus of all realities in the Marvel Universe. That's where Armor, much like S.H.I.E.L.D., it's one of those acronym defense agencies, and this is the Alternate Reality Defense Agency, and they're based next to the nexus of all realities. And Howard the Duck came through a tear in reality. Where he met Man-Thing and a bunch of other weird characters that Steve Gerber created. Man-Thing is a... We're not talking about Howard, but, you know, Man-Thing is a swamp creature, but he's an elemental. He has a very similar but different backstory to Swamp Thing.
He's got kind of like an elephant almost appearance. He's got his long snout.
Kind of like a gas mask.
He looks like a space jockey from the Aliens.
Yeah, he does. If it grew moss, if you were to just take this space jockey, dunk it in the Everglades, take it out, you'd have Man Thing.
Yeah, he has an empathic ability, and he has the ability to teleport, but he who knows fear burns at the touch of the Man Thing. So if you see this guy coming at you in the, you know, in,
you know,
in the
fear journals, if you see him.
Like, yeah, you will know fear, and good or evil, you will burn. There's been some really great stories written about Man Thing in the past, and an interesting thing, which might tie further to him being a plant character, was introduced in the recent Frank Cho Savage Wolverine book. Which is, in the Savage Land, there's a native tribe who are worshipping a plant deity who doesn't appear to be sentient, but it does appear to be a kneeling Man Thing in the forest. There should only be one of them, but there's another one, and it's not actually active. They cut open its bulbous snout, and this sap pours out that can restore life to people who are dead.
That sounds really useful.
Now, the Man Thing, similar to Swamp Thing,
yes,
I wasn't aware of which one came first. Man Thing came first, right?
It's very convoluted. It was Marvel and DC and all of their separate entities early on, before they'd really become what we know as the comics companies of today. They were all kind of harping off of something earlier, even something called the Heap, which is a trash-based monster. I think Todd McFarlane eventually bought the rights to him. There was a McFarlane toy produced anyway of a modern reimagining of him. He's just a big pile of trash. It's a creature.
Hangs out with the Fraggles.
I could do some research and get you a better answer, but it's all tied together like muck based monsters. Actually, no, there is Garbage Man. There's also a character called Garbage Man. They're all this stupid bullshit that seems somewhat similar. They're all tied together. They were all
this weird nexus of stuff.
One knows which one came first. They're all references to each other.
It is worth noting that Swamp Thing has in the past couple of years had a very prominent resurgence in pop culture, just in terms of the creative talent. First off, the event that brought him back, Brightest Day in DC Comics, was a big fucking deal. To have Alec Holland and Swamp Thing come back as this champion of the light. And then Scott Snyder's run on Swamp Thing has been fantastic.
And I might add, it just ended. But the guy who picked up for him, I've never heard of him before, did a great job.
No, I mean, Swamp Thing is one of the most compelling characters in DC right now.
Now, are both Swamp Thing and Man Thing kind of like tragic heroes, is the idea?
Not so much. Man Thing isn't really human.
There have been human origins to Man Thing, but most of them have been washed over because people decided, one, it's too similar to Swamp Thing and he's kind of got that covered, and two, he's more interesting as a force of nature.
Swamp Thing is this weird juxtaposition between being a force of nature and being a tragic hero. I mean, he is, because for those of you not familiar with Swamp Thing's origin, Alec Holland was involved in a lab accident that you find out later.
He was a botanist. Alec Holland was a botanist.
Of course. Yeah, he was a botanist.
He didn't make tires.
I think that'd make it more interesting if he made tires.
It would be.
But this was his punishment.
Alec Holland, the man, died and was saved by this force, this life force, the green, which is all the plant life, and they recreated him as their champion, their warrior, the Swamp Thing. And he's gone through a couple iterations. Alan Moore did a great run on him, and Scott Snyder paid homage to that a lot with his recent run.
Wes Craven made the movie?
Yeah.
I think the most interesting thing about Swamp Thing, really, from like a reader perspective, is more than any of the other plant-based heroes and villains, is that he actually is somebody who's gone through the transition into a plant, and that's mainly what the stories hinge on, is like how his perspective has entirely changed And like Alan Moore did a short comic where Superman gets infected by a Kryptonian like disease fungus or something, and he can just see into it and read like the genetic origins and understand like where these things came from and how he sees every plant as like a world and a history of its own, and that's where his character really, really diverges, and like he tries to help people, but at the same time he's horrifying.
Yeah, and it's that was actually really touched on in the first issue after Snyder's run. They did a really good job with that, where Swamp Thing is called to the like Metropolis's version of Central Park, and there's this plant that I guess is talking to him that's had these rats nipping at it and eating at its roots, and it's got this family there, and Swamp Thing reinvigorates it and gives it life, and then has the roots wrap around this rat family and crush them all.
Oh.
So it's a real good example of this juxtaposition, because he's helping this plant. He is being a voice for something that has no tongue, but he's not opposed to doing horrifying things to defend the green.
And also, not to make this the Swamp Thing episode, but there's Tony, the origin game is actually an oversimplification of what is somewhat complicated, but definitely very interesting and does pertain to this episode an awful lot, which is that the first Swamp Thing, Alan Moore, the Swamp Thing that Alan Moore wrote for, was actually Alec Holland died. He was set on fire in the lab accident and fell into the swamp, and the plants grew over him and everything, and he was meant to be the avatar of the green, but he didn't survive the experience. So the Swamp Thing that emerged that thought it was Alec Holland, it was a plant that thought it was a man. And in the Brightest Day event, where people were being reborn, Alec Holland was given life again, and you know, he had memories of when, because his death was tied to Swamp Thing's life, he has memories of this creature existing before, but he's also been given the chance to be a living man again. And when the green calls to him and asks him to be Swamp Thing, he rejects it. And only recently, and this is I guess a bit of a spoiler, but it's important for this episode, he had to renounce his humanity in full to become Swamp Thing and save the world from a miserable fate.
Wow. So, excellent character. Moving on, however, to Darkwing Duck.
Well, yeah. before you get into Darkwing Duck, I was just going to say, you got Man-Thing,
Swamp Thing,
the Thing from Another World.
What was that?
The Thing, because, you know, John Carpenter did the remake, The Thing.
Right.
Which was a remake of The Thing from Another World.
Okay.
The Thing from...
I've never seen it.
The Thing from Another World, he wasn't, like, meat biological, he was plant-based.
Okay.
Because he
giant plant-based man.
Yeah, he was. He. If you haven't seen the original Thing from Another World, it is classic 1950s alien invasion film. The catchphrase of "Keep watching the skies" keeps. it comes from that film. But basically, it's very similar to the John Carpenter movie, except it doesn't copy people. It's just basically a monster loose in the lab, but it did grow out of like the plants. They had like a greenhouse. And somehow the creature came in contact with those plants. So he's got like little leaves growing out of his head and like little twigs growing out of his hands, and he just kills people. But it's weird that he is from another world, but he is fighting for plants. Like
plants, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
Kindred spirits.
It's weird that he binded with the plants and then he decides to kill the dogs and kill the humans. I don't know, it's very bizarre, all in an Arctic environment. But because of Swamp Thing, Man Thing, The Thing, I mean, what is it with plants and things?
Well, it doesn't always work. Then you have, you know, The Thing from Adam's Family, which is just hand.
That's just Thing.
Remember what happened to Stephen King's Thing in that short in Creepshow when he got infected with a space plant?
Oh, man, I even forgot a thing existed. It's like...
That thing?
That thing, there you go.
That thing.
Plants and things, what is it?
So many things.
Yes, Tony was about to hit on the Darkwing Duck.
Bushroot from Darkwing Duck, who... I'm trying to... His voice...
And
his voice was kind of up here.
Yeah.
A little bit. There was he had the lift. It was almost like a giant...
He had a fat beak. That's what he had.
Did.
He had.
He's about to get a fat beak.
it sounded almost like John Candy. But it kind of ties into this recurring... When it's a plant hero, it's a very tragic story. When it's a plant villain, it's just somebody who's using, like, botany to fuck people up.
But But Bushroot was a tragic villain.
He was.
Like he was,
he's like the Mr. Freeze meets Poison Ivy of Darkwing Duck's universe?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, he was a botanist. Also a little bit of...
He's basically a big ugly flower with a beak.
A little bit of the Mad Hatter, actually, a la Batman the Animated Series. He was in love with a sexy female duck botanist, or generic white bird of whatever hangs out in, you know, Saint Canard. and he loved her, and this is all from memory, so please excuse my massive Darkwing Duck plot holes. I think you can forgive me that.
Honestly, well, I didn't go too much into the backstory.
And I think he made some super fertilizer, and like he put it on himself and it backfired and he turned into a living plant, and then obviously that drove him a little bit crazy and he already wasn't quite all there. And then I remember in the first episode he tried to turn the girl of his affections also into a plant so they could live together in photosynthetic harmony.
Let's talk about the villain that succeeded at that, El Cid.
That's right.
From The Tick, is a giant sunflower who was, I guess he's supposed to be Spanish, but yeah. His accent was very, I don't know, but he had a giant corn army, and he was the best at laying down those corn puns. Yeah, he says, "Giant corn army, lend me your ears," and then he'd stop and go. Hey, hey, hey. But he was going to spread this in revenge, I guess, for pesticides. He has the stuff he was going to spread over the city that was going to turn people into plant based life, like he is.
That reminds me, like the pod people from the Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
You're right. Yeah, those are plant based.
Monsters. Oh yeah, those were like plant pods, weren't they?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, they were specifically these were people being grown. That's why they had like the green veins and shit. Even in the remake, they had a similar thing going on. So, I mean, plants apparently just want to fuck us over.
I mean, especially if you watch The Happening, that masterpiece of modern cinema.
Or speaking of masterpieces, I just now remembered, and no, I would have never watched this if it hadn't been for peer pressure, Douglas.
What, The Happening?
It's Troll 2.
Oh, Troll 2!
You're right.
How can we forget?
No, Ernest Scared Stupid.
Oh, yeah.
But wait, now, wait. Was he, but that troll... How was he related to the plant stuff?
He turned the cage into little wood pieces of wood.
No, but that's only because they trapped him in like a tree.
Well, but didn't new ones want to spawn out of those pods?
Yeah, they
that
did.
Is true. They did. He put the kids
they
in the tree.
They look like Brussels sprouts. Yeah, remember?
What the fuck is going on with plants?
I mean, seriously. Okay, go get your bushwhacker. We're gonna go out and just start cutting them all down.
I mean, I don't want to go out on a limb here, but plants seem to be.
I feel like this conversation has branched in a weird direction.
It's fine.
Well, clearly we talked about all the bad villains.
Well, let's leave them alone for a while.
Jesus. We should name drop.
Plus
heroes. Like what are people who? Because since Big Bad Shadow Man is a sponsor for this episode, we should name drop Biolante, the giant plant that fights Godzilla.
Of course.
Which, if we haven't put it out already, we will be addressing in an upcoming giant monster themed Nerdy Show Prime. But anyway, so Biolante, there it is. That's a thing.
There you go, Shadow Man.
Look into it, yeah.
there's more on the way. You were saying, Doug.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, it's like, oh, man, plants freaking suck. You know, like, what? Well, like, what is it? And I'm like, you know, now I think about it, there really aren't that many plant heroes that are cool. Like, you could go up and you could look into it like, oh, yeah, there's this guy. Like, hold on, let me
Groot.
Like Groot.
Yeah, Groot is cool.
Groot's awesome.
I am Groot.
And, I mean, one of the most delightful surprises for me was not only when Marvel announced that they were doing a Guardians of the Galaxy film, but that a talking tree that can only say its name would be one of the primary characters in the
film.
I'm
so excited.
It's like, you guys are awesome.
It's the closest Marvel has come to a grass-named Pokemon.
You know, it's funny. It's going to kind of be... Star-Lord is a lot like Han Solo, and Groot is basically going to be his big tree Chewy.
Or Hodor. Well, but Hodor. He's got a package. He's got the Rocket Raccoon Groot combo.
It's true.
It's Chewy.
Yeah, pretty much. It's furry and violent, and then large and somewhat simple.
Well, Rocket Raccoon is basically R2-D2 at that point, isn't it? I mean, he's funny.
He's sassy.
He's got all... I mean, he produces weapons that Thanos goes, where'd that come from?
Yeah, well, I mean, Groot is basically an Ent from Lord of the Rings. Which
but from
are,
space.
Exactly, space Ent.
And a little bit... faster on his feet.
Yeah, and it's he comes from a planet that is where all trees are Groot. And Groot says that Groot is Groot, but Groot is in fact, which is supposed to be the king of all the plants there, but Groot is not Groot. Groot is a liar. And there's this whole Rocket Raccoon Groot backup story that happened a while back that explains all this complicated crap that makes no sense coming out of my mouth.
But speaking of Treebeard... in Lord of the Rings, before we started, Nina reminded me of another Ent. You remember it better than me from Hellboy 2.
Right.
What was that thing?
It was a tree spirit. It was essentially the representation of nature. Really, it was released by, I believe, in Hellboy 2. It was released by the son of the Elf King, like the main villain in the movie.
But didn't they specifically say Ent at some point? Like, wasn't it supposed to be like an ancient Ent?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct.
And yeah, it was like, and then
Hellboy had to shoot it.
Yeah, it's like it's like, yeah, it's taking over that entire city block, and
came
people are dying.
The sewer system actually into
And then he kills it, and you're like, yeah, Hellboy, fuck that tree up. And you're like, that was the last bit of magic on this planet,
right,
the last piece of ant that was here to protect the earth, and you've destroyed it, Hellboy. And then you feel like shit
for
rooting
like,
for
oh,
him. only if you're a tree hugging hippie do you feel bad.
True enough. I mean, let's face it. It is still Ron Perlman at the end of the day.
It's
and
true.
Tree is just a tree. Ron Perlman is Ron Perlman.
So, y'all remember Pocahontas, right?
Oh, God.
Nina actually wrote this down while we were talking. Nina wrote that down, but go ahead. Go into it.
Minds think alike.
That's right, Nina. We're on the same page. Grandmother Willow. She's a tree who talks. Now, here's an interesting fact about Grandmother Willow, totally unplant related. In the original script, it was actually Pocahontas' sage-like spirit guide was actually Old Man River, who is, I know.
I'm glad they changed that.
He was,
come along, Pocahontas, Old Man River.
Was to be voiced by Gregory Peck, who then read the script and said, this should be a female character. You shouldn't do Old Man River. And they threw it out because Gregory Peck said, give someone else a job.
Right, wow. Gregory cool. Peck.
There was going to be a song called Just Around the River Bend to be sung with Old Man River, but... Which may have, I don't remember Pocahontas.
Just made it into the movie.
Oh, okay, well, anyway, it had another meaning.
I don't want to hear Gregory Peck singing.
I don't want to have an old man singing to a teenage girl about his riverbend.
Yes.
Frankly.
Ride the river.
Almost at the waterfall. Almost there.
Get
almost.
In.
Go on, go over. There it is.
The fantastic wooden robot, Woodman.
From Mega Man 2.
Yeah, the most terrifying of all robots. King of the trees. has a shield of flying rocket-powered leaves that are razor sharp.
How does one have rocket-powered leaves?
Don't
question it.
The stem is a little rocket. Like it shoots flames out of it.
And in Mega Man 6 there was Plant Man.
Yeah.
I didn't play that one, so I don't know what Plant Man was like.
I don't remember Plant Man as much as
I too know nothing of Plant Man.
I'm sure he shot something. And
he's somebody's favorite.
Somebody's favorite.
The chameleon from Mega Man X, who was plant themed as well.
Man. Now, what? Now about the whole tree, like the actual tree person, Grandmother Willow, the tree beard, the tree spirit. What was that guy in Fallout 3?
Oh,
son of a bitch!
Like his story was—he was just a dude who got exposed, and the tree started growing on his head.
Well, the thing is, he looks like a ghoul, but he's not a ghoul. He actually got in Fallout 1 got exposed to like this special, and he had a tree limb growing out of his head that he named like
Bert or Bob
Herbert.
Yeah.
Harold.
Yeah. And he says, "Just kidding. His name's Bob." He goes, "He hates it when I call him that."
Speaking of Bethesda tree-based things, Spriggans from Skyrim, assholes.
Spriggans, yeah.
They are assholes.
They're just Tinder. Like,
I mean,
I just set them on fire.
You gotta level up, man.
You're playing Skyrim wrong.
Speaking of assholes in Skyrim, bears, am I right? It's like, dude, hey, you gotta level up.
Look, now, like, I can make a bear work for me in Skyrim. I can't make a Spriggan work for me.
Well, you know.
And, I mean, let's face it, the more we delve into these plant-themed heroes, we're just going to get more into, like, mythology. You got the dryads, the druids, just tree people, literal tree spirits that come to life and represent the trees.
Were you?
Fuck, the Lorax. I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
He just speaks for the trees. He's not a plant.
Well, no, you know, and I think it is an appropriate time to bring up my druid from World of Warcraft.
Wait a minute, about the Grandmother Willow or something?
No. There was an actual spirit of the forest, if you guys remember, in Princess Mononoke.
Mm-hmm, a giant god that dripped and was terrifying.
I mean, he was essentially nature incarnate, more or less.
Where he stepped, like, things would grow.
So it's like, again, this brings up... Well, I'm sorry, Adam, what were you going to say?
No, go ahead. I'll go.
I was going to say, like, there's less and less we're seeing that there's no actual superhero, plant-based superhero.
Well, what about Captain Planet, dog? He has a chia pet on his head.
Captain Planet is like...
Listen, don't fuck with Captain Planet. They're turning him into a fucking tree.
He's got powers that help the environment. But I wouldn't say he's plant based.
It's
more like all nature.
But even that, it's like the kids had to bring him together. He was like the last ditch effort. So he's more of like Deus Ex Machina of just like the kids being like, we gotta convince these polluters that polluting's wrong. And when they don't, Captain Planet, they don't see the error of their ways. And then he shows up and just shuts down the trucks. And like, I don't know. If he was really a hero, why does he got to have the kids call him? Why doesn't he just go around and do it himself?
I don't know. Ask Gaia, bitch.
That's pretty much any Senshin or Senshi series where it's a whole bunch of, like, five people who combine their power to form Voltron, a Megazord, Captain Planet.
It's like, but if you're forming a Megazord, the Megazord itself, unless we're talking about the original version, it's just a tool.
Well so is Captain Planet.
That's what I'm saying. He's a tool. He's not a hero. He's not a hero.
Well, I think Swamp Thing should qualify.
Swamp Thing
might be, but then so too might Ted Turner, and Ted Turner can go fuck himself.
Swamp Thing would qualify as a
hero. You heard it here on the Nerdy Show.
I'm not affiliated with Tony. I just want to make that clear.
Dude, I don't need him just busting through the door. I'm Captain Planet. Just...
No, I'm talking about Ted Turner busting through the door.
Yeah.
Ted Turner as Captain. No?
The first Hokage from Naruto is basically a good hero man.
You're talking Greek to me.
That's okay. We're explaining it. His power, he's basically like one of the most powerful ninjas in all the ninjaverse.
When you're a ninja, naturally you can turn into a log.
Exactly. You can turn into a chop log. This man created giant trees with his thoughts, and he basically created an entire village just by thinking really hard. And he was terrifying.
He was a visionary.
Poison Ivy at times can be an anti-hero.
Yeah.
But most of the time she's just evil.
Yeah. I know because Doug and Josh haven't seen it, but from Avatar, the Foggy Water Tribe, which is a bunch of backwater rednecks that are waterbenders in the Avatar world, but they can manipulate the water in vines and seaweed and whatnot. And they're goofy and silly, but they're kind of badass, and they show up a few times throughout the series.
They're rednecks.
Any bender who does weird stuff with their powers is badass.
Let's be fair, they are, in every sense of the word, rednecks. They're fat, but they will kick your ass.
Yeah, I know. And
Radagast in The Hobbit...
He had
some pretty extended scenes in the new movie, so yeah, Radagast had a lot of...
That guy clearly is a hero of the woods.
The forest.
But isn't he more connected to the animals and the plants, really?
It's nature.
But he could read the plants and like know what things are and make things grow.
He literally made that potion that saved the hedgehog out of like a mushroom and a twig and a leaf.
He's a plant MacGyver.
If we don't have any worthy plant heroes, Doug, shouldn't we make some for lightning dogs?
We'll have to figure that out.
That's another
heroes are lame. Plant villains are also kind of lame, but there's a few awesome ones.
Here's the thing too, is if you get like a plant villain's more appropriate for lightning dogs, because like maybe the tree that's tired of getting peed on.
I'll show them whose bark is worse. My bark is worse.
Does it always come back to lightning dogs, guys?
No,
does it always come back to lightning dogs?
At the danger of dipping down this rabbit hole, their world has been decimated. Plants do need a champion.
That's true.
How about the tree that has the heart and like the J and plus M, whatever? That could be his superhero symbol.
What are you talking about?
Is he a Care Bear? Welcome to Speaking with a Hat. he's talking about a tree hero, but his symbol on his chest is the carved heart of two lovebirds.
Oh.
The problem is he's very limited.
You son of a bitch.
Cut it there, because that is the ultimate plan.
Cut it there.
Cut it there and carve it into
a fucking boat.
Ultimate plant villain.
The raping
lumberjacks.
Paul Bunyan, ultimate enemy of trees.
But now I'm still waiting for that Swamp Thing Paul Bunyan showdown.
Now, speaking of enemy plant things, because we're going back and forth.
The burning bush from the Bible.
The burning bush from the Bible is a good one. But the one that I thought of before we started, where I was like, I can't believe I didn't think of it, and I can't believe you guys didn't think about it, the Thorian from Mass Effect.
You're right. Oh my goodness. Wow. Yeah.
That was total plant based. Total
created
asshole, total
human-esque
enemy.
Plant-based clones.
Yeah. Much like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah, very much.
We invaded it. So who was the real invader?
It was.
Pharaoh's his own planet.
I'm sorry, I thought this was America.
I was like, no, this is Pharaoh's.
To be fair, it didn't.
Do they have a flag?
It didn't invade. It didn't start invading the people until the one corporation got a hold of it and started running tests.
But it was an asshole. Like, it was, you know.
Well, I would be an asshole too. If aliens
didn't eat people until one corporation tried to put it out there. But then Weyland-Yutani came along.
You can't defend the Thorian for being like, oh well, people invaded. Yeah, but it worked with Saren.
That's true. Yeah, it did.
So
work
it was
with
just
Saren.
Evil. It was just inherently
Saren,
evil.
I mean, Saren was just a precursor to you. He was just going renegade.
No, we're not gonna. That's
that is another show. That's another entirely. Show anyway. Thank you so much, Big Bad Shadow Man, for requesting this topic. If you have a topic you want us to talk about, well, you can play this game every single month at Nerdy Show.
It's like roulette.
And before we go, I'll pose one last question.
Russian roulette.
Johnny Appleseed, original plant hero?
Or original plant villain? You decide.
Bye, I'm Cap.
Bye, I'm Doug.
Bye, I'm Nina.
Bye, I'm Adam.
Bye, I'm Tony.
Bye, I'm Josh.
Taking us out, we've got What Else Can We Play? But Mean Green Mother from Little Shop of Horrors. I don't know which version, whatever.
Better wait a minute. You better hold the phone. Better mind your manners. Better change your tone. Don't you threaten me, son. You got a lot of gold. We're gonna do things my way. Some good advice. You better take it easy, 'cause you're walking on thin ice. I'm just
I guess the two of these together would be Mean Green Interconnected Mother.
Interlocking
Mother?
Mean Green. I don't know. Maybe.
That loses the pizzazz.
Yeah. Well, whatever. It's a...
Mean Green Mother that you curse if you step on with bare feet.
Oh, yeah. You curse her. So now in this interlude between episodes,
that was awesome botanical talks.
Speaking of Little Shop of Horrors, you should definitely check out this next week's Hex Grid.
Yes,
plays a little track by Schaefer the Dark Lord for all you Little Shop fans out there. You will get a kick out of. Now we're gonna do Legos, but first we got to give some shout outs to some amazing people.
Hell yeah!
Well, so far in the month of July, as of this recording, there's only been one loan contribution, and that is from a real true Roosevelt, Big Bad Shadow Man.
Oh,
the man behind the plant episode. He threw some money our way very generously, and he said, "Here's some money for the awesome that was Paranoia XP."
Yay! I'm glad people liked that.
People have been really enthusiastic about it, and I like it a lot too.
Maybe we can do another one of those choose your own adventure RPG campaigns again.
There will definitely be a RPG one shot support drive later this year.
Because Paranoia XP was not the one I was rooting for, but it came out. It was phenomenal.
There were so many good options. There were just so many. Once we clear our palette of all of our things we have to do, we got another Nerdy Show Prime episode coming out, and we got to do the voiceover for Star Trek.
Oh, that's right.
So we got those things, and once we're done with those, like in the fall, we'll start doing action-packed support drives again.
Yes.
And we'll do them in such a way so that we will get the topic, we will complete the project, and then we will go to the next topic, and we will not lump them on top of each other.
I like this plan.
In a way that we can't possibly keep up with. That was a bad idea.
It's as if we learned from our mistakes and we're moving forward.
It is as if that happened.
That's yeah. I'm proud of us.
Me too. Nathaniel Kraft sent us a really great letter and about Paranoia. He said,
nice.
I just had to write you about this. I'm almost done listening to the Paranoia RPG episode, and you had me crying with laughter during your Wolf Boy confessional. River of Red Scarves in the Sunlight. Too goddamn funny. Thank you so much. I desperately needed a laugh this week. Your crew for this one was top notch. Please let them know I enjoyed it thoroughly. And oh my god, the pet bot move was amazing. Well, thanks so much, Nathaniel. It's always awesome to hear what everybody thinks about the episodes, especially when we do something, you know, like that we've never done before, like Paranoia, and their response has been great, and I let everybody know, and they were all very happy. So now we're going to talk about Legos.
Yay, Legos!
And I'll just pass myself over to Other Cap.
Huh.
So, Other Cap, start the damn show. You can enunciate better than I can.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Colin.
And today in this Nerdy Show microsode, we're going to talk to you about Legos. All in caps.
Legos. What does Lego stand for?
All in caps, so they're all inside you.
Oh, yeah, and oh, it's pokey. It
does anyone know what Lego actually stands for?
It stands for lenticular. Enigmatic grandma ovaries.
Okay, you heard it here first. That's an official fact.
But what about the S?
No, it's a
surplus.
It's a possessive. That's what they do with all the extra ones. Damn, I've always wanted to know that.
This episode's brought to you by Trench 88.
And Lego. Little known fact, I'm just gonna put this out there before we dive into this. For every 1,000 pieces of Lego that are printed or made, 100 seals die in the ocean. Oh. And for every 10,000 pieces that are made, an angel gets its wings. These are official facts from Lego.com. I'm just letting you know.
Alrighty.
They're really proud of the seal deaths.
They are. Well, the fat, the oil from the seals are what make more Lego. So it's kind of this circle that keeps going.
I have absolutely no idea what truly the name of Lego means. I think I may have known at one point, but I've forgotten. But it was invented by Ole Kirk Christensen, and actually I saw a video not too very long ago that was a an animated version of the story of Lego from its humble beginnings back in 1949 all the way to present, and how it was really a small toy maker whose family created something that grew to an international sensation with six theme parks. and countless video games.
Whether like, or not those theme parks are successful, I don't know. I hear there's one here. Are they building?
Yeah, no. It's here. It's there's one in Orlando recently, and it was done where Cypress Gardens used to be. The
old... It saved Cypress Gardens, actually.
Well, how did it save it? Well, I mean, Cypress Gardens was an old-timey Florida tourist attraction with lots of multi-person water skiing tricks and all that, and I would imagine that any of the old world charm of Cypress Gardens is gone.
Yes. Well, the thing about Cypress Gardens is that it was, as we go into the Cypress Gardens microsode, the thing about Cypress Gardens is that it was actually going under in terms of like, it was just not making enough money in order to sustain itself.
Well, so I don't doubt that. I mean, they're in theory, they exist just outside of Orlando. They've been marketing themselves as a tourist, as a tourist attraction comparable to Disney, but they're totally not. They're more like a Wiki Watchy Spring sort of experience. And then a few years ago, they brought in Busch Gardens style prefabricated rail roller coasters, which I assume failed miserably because then they went bankrupt and then Legoland.
However, it is the gardens aspect of Cypress Gardens is still a part of Legoland. Like, well, they did not completely get rid of it. It's still like it's on the map for the Legoland parks. Like, so they have the Legoland water park, they have regular Legoland, and then there's also Cypress Gardens.
So Legoland is actually doing well enough that Cypress Gardens was saved. Or are you saying literally they preserved Cypress Gardens by incorporating it into Legoland?
Basically,
I think more preservation, I suppose.
Yeah.
Anyway, Legos are little plastic blocks you build stuff with.
You can build.
I assume they're made of PVC.
You can build a tower, and you can make a schoolhouse, and sometimes you can make a square. And
Legos are they're often, you know, decidedly a favorite toy of nerd children because you can build anything that you imagine.
Also, favorite toy of autistic children. They love to stack blocks. They keep it color-coded. If you have a child that does that, go see a doctor. They're going to be a super genius, no social skills. I think you know one.
He pointed to me. But in a way, he pointed to us all. Because sometimes nerdiness and autism go hand in hand. But that's a discussion for another time and also a rather sensitive issue.
Do we have any facts? Any more facts about Lego besides the seals and angel wings?
Well, let's see. How about this? When... in the early 90s, when I was old enough for Legos to not be a choking hazard,
we did all choke on Legos, I think, when we were a kid.
I speak for yourself. I choked on no Legos.
I did put one in my butt once, and when I pooped it out, the whole inside was filled with poop.
God damn it.
Every time. It's time to drink, kids.
Without fail. Take a shot.
It is a good drinking game.
You get wasted.
Every time Brandon makes a poop reference, drink a shot. I love it. I'm going to start playing it and listening to the episode. Poop, poop, poop. There you go. I just fucked you up.
Triple down. So when I got into Legos, I don't know what had come before exactly, but that was when the sci-fi sets, at least as far as my awareness started. There was, I don't remember the names of them. I think there was maybe the Magnetons. There was the black, white, and green colored Lego men, and there were the red and black Lego men, and the novelty of the sets was that they all had magnets featured in the builds.
Oh, I remember that. I have some of them still. This is when Lego started getting creative with their marketing. And that's one of the things that I love best about Lego is that when the times change, they change with it. You know, they started doing magnets, they started doing like scientific kind of connects kind of Lego, and then they moved on to video games. So they keep changing. Legos will never die. We'll be eating them soon.
A Lego cereal that was actually functional would be pretty awesome.
Oh man. Legos too are the building blocks of where Minecraft came
from. They're using them for building.
True, yeah. And then there was the Minecraft set for Lego. Actually kind of shitty if you ask me. It's you just create a chunk of terrain and it's not particularly interesting or inspiring. Don't know why they would bother making it. It's pretty dumb.
It's meta.
I don't know. It's like if you're gonna do something just to do it, make it good at least. Whatever.
I suppose. So what was one of the like most difficult things that you got and built, like successfully built?
That's a hard question. I always really enjoyed it, but they do provide you with instructions.
Well, sure, it's still difficult to find the pieces and you know all that kind of stuff. Well,
okay, here's an interesting thing. I was trying to remember what things were like when I built Legos in the early 90s. Not too very long ago, for I think Christmas or something, Hex was given by his mom a Lego Millennium Falcon, and we put it together, and it came in bags that were numbered. So as you go through the instructions, it's even less difficult to find pieces. And I thought to myself, I don't remember it being this way. Is that a new thing?
Yeah. See, it's
for me, I remember that it would just being like just a giant bag of junk, and you just had to sift through it.
Wasn't now it's a multi-stage process.
See, wasn't it half the fun? Whereas before, it's like find the right piece, put it together, you know, figure it out. Even if there's like directions, you still have to find the piece. Now it's right. Like the pieces are going to be in this bag. Open it and put them together. It's not fun. What's the point? You know, you're going to end up, you know, with that Millennium Falcon, and you didn't really do much to get it there. It wasn't like a
step-by-step system. It was like a like you saw a piece, a picture of like a section, and you had to, it didn't tell you which pieces went in it. You just saw like, okay, well, I gotta put this flat piece with this long square, you know what I mean?
That's true. Like, it used to be like IKEA square directions where it would just show an image, and then the next image would suddenly be like a bigger image of like a bunch of blocks, and you're like, shit, which blocks do I put together? And then you're like, how did I get there? And I'm missing a dowel. And basically it was like that.
And then there was a man with a phone with the frustrated face.
Admittedly, the Falcon was still rather complex, but it, as far as putting it together, it wasn't quite challenging. It was a marvel of Lego engineering, though. It's a very, very, very complicated piece of Lego sculpture. But
did
I don't know.
Did it have cargo bays where you could smuggle things?
I believe it did, actually. I mean, it wasn't to scale, obviously.
You could smuggle your tinier Lego pieces.
You know, I remember when I was a kid and I was thinking, man, I wish there was Ninja Turtle Legos or Batman Legos. And though the Ninja Turtle license was never officially extended to Legos, eventually I think Mega Bloks or somebody got them. But there are Batman Legos, and there's Pirates of the Caribbean Legos, and there's sure as fuck Star Wars Legos. And and as soon as that happened, maybe it was just me being a curmudgeon at that point, but I was like, okay, this is bad. Like Legos, when I became an adult, then it was like, well, to me, Legos represents a certain amount of inspiration, and as soon as you introduce licensed properties to it, it takes away from that inspiration. Yeah. Whereas they could have the sci-fi sets and their like underwater exploration sets and things that were actually, they made for some just really cool color designs and initial designs for ships and so on. They're more like those designs become in their own way building blocks for your own imagination and what you can do with those sets. And when you introduce set concepts that have like years and years of previously established notions to them, I feel like it kind of takes it away from everything.
Yeah, I do agree with that, and to a degree. I mean, like, I don't remember, and honestly, I don't see a lot of those types of sets on the shelves anymore, where there isn't any Lego sets that I am aware of. Obviously, I'm sure that they're out there, but like the ones that I see on the shelves are not those like random, you know, underwater or space colony.
Well, here's the
sets
good news
anymore. Really.
It's all Harry Potter.
I when I go to a toy store, I do always hit the Lego aisle, and though I don't buy anything because they are always and always have been really expensive.
I don't understand that still to this day. Why little plastic pieces are like $150 sometimes.
It used to be that they're from Denmark, so of course they're expensive. But now they don't have an excuse. But anyway, they do still make awesome, unique Lego sets. There's maybe less of them.
What about that NASA one?
They still always exist. Yeah, there's you know, like Lego City is a pretty diverse thing, and they're actually now they've figured out how to turn City into a actual property. Like there's the City video game and everything. They've got even more City sets, and what's great about the City sets is they're perfect for being natural building blocks for ideas, because they're actually kind of bland sets with interesting parts. So you naturally want to modify them and change them, which is cool. They had a NASA-authorized space set, and they still continue to produce different... they've always had some kind of a space thing on the market, but they continue to update them. Their current sci-fi theme is kind of a... Every few years, they kind of throw away whatever it is they've been doing and start something new. They went through so many phases back in the 90s of, like, after Magnetons, there was... I have no idea what they were actually called. There was another set. I think the last hurrah for that was a massive, many $100 monorail set that I never got.
I just
wanted.
Remember a giant pirate ship, generic like pirate ship for like 170 or something. It was
ridiculous. Yeah, the pirate sets were big. The medieval stuff was cool. They had glow in the dark skeletons.
I like that. They had dungeons actually, and castles, and you could build them.
They've got
you want.
The things they have on now that I've seen. They've got a War of the Worlds style alien invasion set is what they're doing in the sci-fi angle, and then also I believe they have kind of like a Transylvania sort of set.
Huh. Like actual Transylvania or like Dracula's Transylvania?
Well, and like, you know, like weird spooky shit like castles and mansions and ghost horses and shit like that.
That's cool.
There's still some cool stuff out there, but it's definitely underplayed by the licensed property stuff. And, you know, it was smart of them to do it because as a kid, I wanted that, even though I probably shouldn't have.
Yeah. Well, also, too, like, I mean, like, but I remember there being commercials for those, like, unlicensed Lego sets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember that.
That's because you're old, Colin. And you have to keep in mind that the kids right now still want those licensed sets. So they're the ones buying it, obviously.
The most Lego commercials I see outside of video game stuff, I've seen city commercials. I mean, because I watch a fair amount of cartoons.
I've seen Harry Potter ones. I used to see tons of them.
There's a lot of commercials for the IP stuff, but City does have a lot of commercials these days, especially because they're promoting it so much. And also Ninjago, which is their...
I hate all of their shit. I hate all their names.
It's a transmedia property thing. It's some kind of a television show that's a game that's also a Lego set, and I've never invested any time in understanding it or how it works.
But they've been doing that recently with those weird, like, Elemental Warrior guys they've had for the past few years that you've seen commercials for. They've had movies, they've had video games too, and they all look like crap Lego.
There's a lot of Lego history. None among the Nerdy Show crew is much of a Lego historian, and no one's taken the time to say dissect Lego's history into some kind of a scholarly breakdown that we can give to you.
Right.
We can direct you to the Wikipedia page where it's all very balanced out, but I think it's more fun when we give you some truths and some lies.
I mean, that's not true. I do know some history because George Washington's teeth were not actually made out of wood. He eventually got them replaced with white Legos.
That's true.
They are several hundred years old. They were around during the War of 1812. They were around when Abraham Lincoln tried to free the slaves.
Well, what's little known is that as a symbol, John Wilkes Booth actually stole one of the teeth from the exhibit of George Washington's teeth and used that in the gun to fire and kill Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. This is true.
It's a little known fact that there is an embedded Lego that used to be George Washington's tooth inside of Abraham Lincoln's head.
These are all on Lego's website officially. You can check them out.
They're proud of this. I don't know why, but
it's like fun facts.
Notoriety,
section.
I suppose, is important. Mm-hmm. Recently, in May 2013, the largest Lego model ever created was displayed in New York, made of over 5 million Lego bricks. And it's a full scale model of an X-Wing.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome.
That's nuts. They do some crazy stuff. I mean, like, you know, we talk about creativity and all that kind of stuff. Like, there's some crazy Lego stuff out there. I mean, like, the fact that, you know, down in Downtown Disney in Orlando, they have a Lego store, and outside the Lego store, there's constantly new structures, and they're like artistic pieces of these Lego structures.
Lego.
I don't know if there's like what the Mac Genius version is of the Lego person, but it's brilliant, some of the stuff that they make.
I hope that there are real people behind this. I often wonder with the large scale sculptures and everything, how much of it is computers these days, because certainly Lego
probably
has a program.
They obviously probably use computers to calculate how much they're going to need or how it's going to be shaped. Maybe. But they do definitely need real people to put it together. Either way, it's a challenge.
I just like to think that I would like to imagine that the designs are actually from scratch.
It could be. There's a lot of artists that do Lego art. I mean, there's YouTube videos of them building it. There's so much out there of people building it.
The most recent thing that I thought that I found that like blew me away was the have you guys seen the Batcave made out of Legos?
No.
No, what is it?
Okay,
this?
So it's not the set of the Batcave. Like these Carlisle Livingston II and Wayne Hussey. they both made like out of 20,000 pieces of Lego. It weighs over 100 pounds and over 400 hours of work to create like the most intricate like Batman Lego scene I've ever seen. Like it's got a turntable, it's got a bat car,
is it miniaturized? I mean, it has to be like miniaturized to have.
Oh yeah, it's not like to scale or anything like that, but it's absolutely amazing. This bat cave, it is so detailed. Like you can like there's like stalactites and the computer systems and the staircases and like how textured the walls are, and there's like intricate lighting inside the Lego piece, and it's an amazing piece of work.
There's also for $67,000, I believe you can buy a massive Lego bed that I think looked like an X-Wing, but it might have been like an A or a B-Wing. I forget. But that exists and you can buy it.
Weird.
And the Lego pieces, there's a little website called thisiswhyimbroke.com that features everything amazing. And then they have links to all of these great stuff. So it is there if you want to check out Lego beds that are massive for like 70 grand.
There's a weird project that's been in production since 2008. It's a little something called the Lego Movie. And though it's been in production since 2008, its current release date is in 2014. So still in production, this better be something spectacular. I don't really know what it is. It's directed by the team behind Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. It's got a voice cast that's extensive.
It's a Lego movie. How good could it be?
The plot synopsis is Emmett, an ordinary guy, is mistaken as being the one who can save the universe. With the aid of an old mystic, a tough female, and Batman, Emmett will fight to defeat the evil tyrant bent on destroying the universe by gluing it together.
And Batman.
And Batman is what it reads in Wikipedia. I don't know how true it is.
I guess they're allowed to do that?
I don't know.
But, like, wow. Is it a Lego movie, like, CG and everything has the same style of Lego? Or did they literally make the movie out of Legos and stop animation?
No, that would be amazing. Like, the Michelle Gondry White Stripes video? No, it's not like that. If it was like that...
Which would make sense, because they could do that.
That would validate how long it's taken for it to be developed.
It's probably just, like, a crappy CG movie that looks the style of Lego.
It is a CG movie, but I've heard really good reviews for all of Lego's direct-to-video films. Like, I've heard really good things about the Star Wars Lego films and all that.
Well, maybe it's not Lego style, but simply being made by the Lego company.
Oh, hello, this is Cap from the future. Not too very long after we recorded this episode, the Lego movie trailer dropped, and it was actually took us by surprise. So we commented on it in a previous episode of Nerdy Show when we were talking about films. And now we're going to play a slightly extended version of that dialogue here, including Colin's first time watching the trailer, when the rest of us have all seen it. It's pretty great. There's a microsode coming out about Legos. And this microsode, if you're a sort of person who listens to all of Nerdy Show, awesome. And know that this Lego episode is now somewhat obsolete because the Lego movie has been announced and the trailer's out. And we were in this episode being like, what the hell is this Lego movie on Wikipedia? What the fuck is this going to be?
I knew they were working on it and I thought I'm like, this is dumb. Lego movie. Ooh, yep. What the hell?
And then
the trailer drops and I'm like,
oh, they get it.
Oh, shit. Like, this is aware of itself. It was aware of its audience, and it was just going for it.
Yeah. I mean, it looks fun. I mean, like, the Lego games are really well known. It's that same kind of humor.
Right.
Will Arnett is Batman. I'm like, I was like, that sounds dumb. And then I seem like, hey, you know, maybe maybe it's pretty good.
Now, so what's the title of this? The Lego Movie?
Yep. Yeah.
Colin, you awesome. You haven't seen this?
No, I haven't. Oh, I'll check dude, it out.
Yeah, the trailer
look up the trailer, and let's hear your reaction to the trailer.
Oh, God. Oh, it's a Warner Bros. Film.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. Like, how come the Lego people get it?
And Lego does Marvel and DC now. So, what?
What? This looks awesome. What? Michelangelo.
I know, right?
Martin Freeman. Now, I can attest, I have seen Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs many times because I've had to do aftercare with the kids at the theater, and it's actually really good. So
I've heard good things about it.
Will Arnett is Batman. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
I only work in black and sometimes very, very dark gray.
He won me over with that line.
It's yeah. Like,
what the fuck? Who is this girl at the end? Does anybody know who that is?
It's just one of the characters, I guess.
Okay. I just didn't know if it was a
sexy Lego girl.
Yeah.
Her blocks are so elegantly painted. Look at them straight lines. But like, now what? Now why?
That looks fucking awesome.
Why does that look so awesome? And it's a Warner Brothers movie with all those superheroes in it. And it's like awesome. But yet it's like Green Lantern's what we get. You know, Man of Steel's what we get.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Hey,
and
guess what? Music? Mark Mothersbaugh.
Whoa, really?
Yep.
Oh, that's even better. And now, back to the past. And your present.
Lego has gone way beyond anything that I ever imagined.
And Batman's voiced by Will Arnett.
Little blocks.
Will Arnett.
Will Arnett's voicing Batman in this film. So that's a thing. That's a thing that's still happening. We'll see how it goes. But
the video games are selling well.
The video games are selling well. I hear really great things about them. They look good.
I can't get over just that everything looks like fucking Lego characters. I just hate the way a Lego person looks. And I think it's just, you could do so much more. Why? I don't like it. I can't take a game with like a serious story and like a serious plot. Like all these things that are serious. I mean, you've got a goofy looking Lego character.
I guess what you're missing the key point about this.
I am.
Lego games are all comedic. All of them.
They are.
What about the city one?
Yeah, Lego City. Lego City is a comedic Grand Theft Auto. That is the game. It's a Lego sandbox game. That's a comedic Grand Theft Auto, basically, in the Lego universe.
I thought that was Saints Row.
That too. But and this one's all ages, so whatever. I mean, the Batman game is a comedy. The Star Wars game is a comedy.
You know what's weird, though? I actually have played one of the Lego Star Wars games, and it was for one of the prequels, and yes, I know, before you say anything, it was way more fun than any of the official LucasArts Star Wars prequel games.
No, they're super fun.
Way more fun.
Like,
I
played them with Matt Spill. They're super crazy.
Like,
fun,
more work
games.
Went into it than any of LucasArts' recent shits.
It's also not, like, a bullshit game. Like, it's a full-on, like, experience that will take some time to beat. Like, if you want to fully get all the bricks, like, all the gold bricks, and, like, make all the structures and all that kind of stuff,
yeah,
it takes a lot of work.
There's a lot of playability.
Yeah. No, it's a great series. I mean, there's a reason why they sell well, is because not only are they, like, really fun for the casual gamer in terms of playability, but they're really easy to pick up and play, and they're funny, but and they can be played with kids on all sorts of different platforms, but they're the replayability of these games are just incredible.
Maybe they should make the new Star Wars movies.
Well, we'll see if there are any Lego Star Wars games now that EA has an exclusive license. I don't know who puts out the Lego games, but I assume that's not on the books anymore.
Lego has more money than anyone somehow. They should be able to just buy up the rights.
They don't have more money than Disney.
Wasn't there a Lego Tron?
Well, I mean, they're buddies.
I have no idea.
I don't. There was not a Lego Tron.
I imagine in my mind that there could have been.
I mean, there's a Lego store in downtown Disney. At the same time, Legoland is in theory a competing theme park in Orlando.
Yeah, it's weird.
For what it's worth. So, you know,
another
Lego my Ego.
Another fun fact on their website. Do you remember those old commercials for Ego waffles where they'd be like, Lego my Ego? You know why they stopped doing that? Got sued by Lego. Because they kept saying Lego, Lego my Ego. People were like, what? Legos? Egos? I don't get it. Got sued and Lego won.
The holes weren't compatible because Legos
are
circular.
They were square. And the Egos had
I'm just saying I understand why they did it because I attempted to join the two and it didn't work.
Yes.
And I thought this product is faulty. I should return them both.
Also, don't put Legos in a light socket or an electrical socket. It does not feel good. They start melting and it burns your fingers.
Legos actually conduct erotic energy.
That's why I put them in my butt.
If you put it on your crotchal chakra during perhaps some tantric exercises, you can actually supercharge Legos with erotic energy. And if you swallow it like a pill, you'll be rock hard for about a week.
That brings up another interesting story of mine, actually. After watching Ghostbusters 2, I basically put a bunch of Legos on my pool table that I own that you've seen.
Of course.
On my pool table.
We've played many games of snooker on your pool
table.
Yeah,
and I take the jar of semen out of my freezer and defrost it.
Uh-huh.
And then I slowly poured it over the Legos and turned on some music, and it was positively charged with my semen and started dancing.
Oh, it makes sense.
Erotic energy, as you were saying.
And as we all know, semen is a form of ectoplasm, so it does make sense that it would be, and of course it's positively charged.
Yes,
of course. Oh my God.
What?
Okay, hold on. I just found something about Lego. Found out something about Legos that's like blowing my mind. Okay, so you think that Lego originated Legos, right?
Sure.
They didn't. According to the internet, so who knows if it's like seriously legit, but it looks pretty legit. Okay. Apparently they copied from these things called Kitty Crafts self-locking building bricks. They were created 10 years before Lego invented the same thing. Essentially, they were made by this person named Hillary Fisher Page. Where he developed this toy in 1947, and it was debuted in Earl's Court Toy Fair.
Wait, so you're saying Lego stole it from Fisher Page?
Yes. So basically what happened was in the same year that in 1947, when in Earl's Court Toy Fair, Page had a structure built like a stand in order to sell these, you know, these bricks, is in the same year, the Lego founder, Ole Kirk Christensen bought a plastic injection machine from a salesman who demonstrated the type of toys that could be produced with it by showing him some Kitty Craft play sets. This was only meant to be an example of the machine's capabilities, but Christensen had a better idea, doing the exact same thing and calling it by another name. Lego went into full Thomas Edison mode, copying the Kittycraft play sets right down to the little doors and windows that came with them. The rest, of course, is history, and Lego went on to become the household name to such an extent that it is now impossible to go. Rest, of course, is history. Page, in 1957, in turn committed suicide because his company went down the toilet. Lego respected his death by gleefully buying the rights to the rest of his ideas in the 80s, then doing nothing with them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, so if you want to see a really touching animated thing that completely glosses over them stealing someone else's work
and causing them to commit suicide,
there's an animated feature.
I'm corroborating this by a couple other articles. I found that on Cracked.
So wait, I was going to say, that sounded like the cynical tone that's usually in Cracked articles where they attempt to drop truth bombs on people, and sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't.
So you're saying Lego is in fact an evil corporation that behind the guise of silliness makes people commit suicide.
Well, okay, hold on. Lego has been operating for a long time, so the people who originally duped that product have nothing to do with people who currently run.
The people who run it are the sons and daughters of those who founded it. They pass that on.
So whatever the case, I mean, like, that's fucking crazy. I am finding some other articles that corroborate.
I was hoping something like happy would be a happy ending, like Fisher Page created Fisher Price, you know?
No.
Same spelling.
No, he did not. He committed suicide. Yeah, apparently,
corpse.
Yeah, 2.16 million Lego elements are molded every year. Every hour.
That's a lot of angels getting their wings.
That's 36,000 per minute.
Soon the angels will be...
the wangel! my little wangel's waking up. You know what I mean?
Soon there'll be more angels than there'll be humans, and the great angel-human war will begin.
I'd like to put my wangel in your devil pot. who the fuck buys that many Legos? No one can afford that many Legos. I did see a gold-plated Lego.
It's an international deal, though.
You can buy a gold-plated Lego online for, like, thousands.
That's stupid.
Why don't they use them to build, like, huts in Somalia? I mean,
all the gold will rub off when you clip it into something. That's a waste.
On that website I was mentioned earlier, there is a gold number 4 or dollar sign key that you can put on your keyboard made out of actual gold. It's like a few $100. Just that one key. I'm just pointing that.
That's as dumb as the iPhone app that you can only buy if you're extremely wealthy.
Oh, the 10 grand that just, like, a little crystal appears and says, oh, I'm rich.
Yeah. Mm. Well, something that we mentioned earlier in the episode is people doing art with Legos. And there's one guy who's become really famous for taking Lego art to an extreme. His name's Nathan Sawia. If you go to brickartist.com, and we'll link to it on this episode's page as well, you'll see that this guy has an extensive portfolio of very complex and, in some cases, mind-bending Lego sculptures that you absolutely have to check out. You might know his famous piece, which is a yellow humanoid Lego torso that's kind of ripping its chest open, and there's a bunch of bricks falling out of it, but it goes a bit beyond that when you look at the rest of his portfolio. You can actually browse the website by color of bricks.
Did they ever make pink bricks?
I'm sure they've made every conceivable color of brick.
I don't ever see pink.
Well, okay. There's a whole set of Legos marketed towards teen girls. There have been girl marketed sets in the past, but recently, and the Gazetteers did an article on this, there was a set that was made that was so girl-centric that it was condescending and caused a lot of outrage from, say, women who respected Legos and didn't want to be marginalized. But it's like, here's a bakery, here's a clothing store,
build a stove,
girls love to shop. and also it wasn't even fully compatible with the regular Lego set. The people, the actual Lego people, were not the same, like, universally styled Lego people. They were completely different. They were more fashionable. They was more like Legos brats. So I that was the thing that really got me. I was like, well, you could do these things and say they're marketed towards girls, but at least make it within the same, you know, scope of universe where a Lego person is a weird yellow-skinned person and they're all the same, and not be like, oh, no, it's got to be trendy and appeal to this idea of what women want or girls want. Stupid. Anyway, we'll link to that article by the Gazetteers. It's got a lot of information on that whole deal.
I have actually another little known fact. I'm reading it from the website right now. Essentially, if you take a white Lego brick, and it has to be white, can't be any other color, and you swallow it whole, you can't, you know, you can't cut it or bend it anyway, you have to swallow it whole, it will come out as a solid brown Lego brick.
What you may not know is that white Lego bricks are actually made of bone meal, from whale bone meal specifically.
Well, and seal, from all the seals they kill.
Right.
But they're not actually made of poop. It's just they get dyed from all the dead blood running through your intestines.
It's important to note that the seal deaths are both attributed to seals being killed for the bone meal, but also choking hazards from the seals. Choking hazards greatly outweigh the number of seals killed for their bone meal specifically.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Who the fuck buys Mega Bloks? Mega Bloks suck. They're too big. Does Lego just have like a fucking patent on their size?
Well, Lego, the thing about Mega Bloks, the reason Mega Bloks are so big is that they're made for younger children who would otherwise swallow them.
Kinects are cool, but I don't understand that shit.
Lego has its own line for young children, which is called Duplo.
Oh, I remember Duplo. They also suck.
Duplo is a good rapper. It's for the kids, though. Anyhow, we've talked about Legos for far too long.
Colin, do you have any last words for Lego?
Lego means I put together in Latin.
Wait, really?
Yep.
All right.
Well, what's odd about that is that that's not actually why Lego's called Lego. It's because in Danish, there's the phrase leg godt, which means play well.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's somehow interrelated, but it's not one and the same.
God, that was my coincidence. Last words, man. God.
Fuck you.
God.
You're garbage.
Hillary Fisher Page, rest in peace. You're just like fucking Ole Kirk Christensen spitting on my grave.
Ole.
Anyway, thanks so much to Trench for requesting this topic. If you would like to earn a Microsode, all you have to do is contribute to Nerdy Show, and every time we pass a successive $100 mark during our monthly support drives, if you're the person who's responsible, you got it. You can get a Microsode. You can have us talk about whatever you want, and you can also choose who's in the discussion if you so wish to dictate that. Otherwise, we'll play it by ear, and we'll put together the best show we can. Thanks to Trench 88. Bye, I'm Cap.
Bye, I'm Brandon.
Bye, I'm Colin.
Oh, hey, this is... This is
drugged up Cap.
This is not drugged up Cap. This is surgically altered Cap. Post-op Cap.
Post-op Cap.
And Hex.
Normal Hex. Normal. Nothing special about him.
Perfectly average Hex.
Statistically average Hex.
And it's
right
our,
at the median.
It's our job now to conclude this episode and play you an amazing track to go out on. We couldn't find anything about Legos.
Yeah, I did some digging, and there actually are no Lego tracks. So this is a challenge to all you nerd musicians out there. Make a damn Lego track.
Yeah, seriously, guys. This is ridiculous.
For crying out loud.
Or Kinects, or Duplo, or, I don't know, fucking Domino Rally. Sure,
really,
why not?
I really couldn't find anything. But we do have a track from a brand new album by Torrentz. T-O-R-R-E-N-T-Z. They are an international troupe of nerdcore performers, head up by Milk Plus from the UK. And they just released a new album that showcases how international they are. The album is called Nerdcore International. This is the first track from that album. It's called Chat My Name. Features none other than Beefy, the crowned prince of nerdcore hip-hop. A brand new name for me, Marilyn Louise, and a classic nerdcore artist from Australia, The Ranger. So this is a pretty phenomenal track. It's a great way to kick off this jaw-dropping album. So it's available over at Scrub Club Records. The link is, of course, in the post. So hope you enjoyed. I hope you've enjoyed this as much as I've enjoyed watching Cap just be so subdued.
Oh, shut up. I'll kill you slowly. Nerdy Show Live, July 27th. There's a link on this episode's page to more information. We'll have it online, like I said, but if you can come, oh my God, it'll be so exciting to see like some diehard nerdy showers at this event.
I can guarantee everyone who comes in will get a high five from me.
Oh man, that's a heck of a promise.
That's
Hex.
Only 40 people.
You're handled. Well, okay.
That's less high fives that I have to give at Nerdapalooza.
Make Hex work for it.
No.
Stay tuned for more.
No, don't make me chase you down to give you a high five.
Hex Grid is about to come back. It's leading up to the Nerdapaloozas.
Boom! Because this year's Nerdapalooza is getting out of control. Like
we haven't talked about it much on the show. So let's give it the rundown it deserves real quick. Date. Time
October 18th to the 21st at the Orange County Convention Center.
That's right, the same place Star Wars Celebration's at,
and MegaCon is every
and
year.
And MineCon's happening.
And MineCon will be there this year. Fuck,
we're gonna go to that.
Yeah, headlined by They Might Be Giants. Also featuring, we got Power Glove, we got Nerf Herder,
They did the Buffy the Vampire Slayer theme song, guys.
They also did a song which I'll be showcasing on the show called Mr. Spock. They weren't a one-trick nerdy wonder for all you...
Yeah, I'm going to level with you guys. He said nerf herder, and I was like, what, really? But apparently they actually do like nerd music, and they're quite good, so I just don't know. I'm uninformed.
We got a whole roster of ridiculous people that are performing. MC Frontalot is returning. MC Lars is returning. It's just go to nerdapalooza.org. There's a new promotional... there's a promotional video in the link. So
in this episode's page.
Check it out on this page.
Don't be afraid.
And be blown away and go, holy shit, I need to go to Nerdapalooza this year.
So buy multiple plane tickets to Orlando, Florida.
or just enough. Don't just... I mean, only one if it's just you, but multiple if there's more than just you.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah,
do
just get here.
Yeah, more awesome Nerdy Show stuff coming to you in the weeks ahead. So thanks so much for listening. Bye, I'm Cap.
Bye, I'm Hex.
And we will talk to you soon. Here is Torrance.
We'll miss you. I miss you already. Hold me.
Cocky as you want me, put me on the world tour. Like the plot, I'm leaving dangling. You're begging me for more. Yeah. I run on Red Bull in 5 hours. And the weak is crashing harder than a larger Richard Hammond. The professor and the jizzer, how I get inside your head. Your dreams are kinda like the others, they was already dead. I heard what you said, and I don't even care what you meant. But by the time you came along, I moved along in my head. So keep up, step up, but don't fashion me your dance. Are you still dating, what's her name? I got the question you should ask her. The thrills of fashion when she's trash, she calls you beef. And don't come knocking at my door, you think that baby looks like me. I keep my real life real locked up. When it's coming to my family, I'll fuck shit up. Is that simple enough? See them labbing it up. And through the mist and rise, we find you haven't said shit once. So what up?
I know you love to chat with me, but you ain't got no real shit to say. Keep on talking, do your thing, guess your way through life, cause I'll be famous anyway. I know you love to chat with me, but you ain't got no real shit to say. Keep on talking, do your thing, guess your way through life, cause I'll be famous anyway.
I let them pricks keep talking and trying to act till I come through with the sun, then it's bye-bye. They know they can't beat us, so why try? No, we got weapon, we ready, they're still trying to fight. I'll put the ting to and make them dance, do the dirty wine. Ha ha, I laugh at these actors, stick them up, take all of their money out their mattress. On it from early, I was a problem since Pampers. Grew up now with gunshots and feds trying to clamp us. I ain't in the click, but I'm praying days change. Groundhog Day, stuck in our the same old place, in the same old state. It's like I'm in the matrix, stuck in the days. I'm zoned off this high-grade weed that I blaze. It's got me riding beats for days. Still on the roads, late fuck attacks. Still driving, no lies, and screaming fuck a bandstand.
I know you love to chat me, but you ain't got no real shit to say. Keep on talking, do your thing, guess your way through life, cause I'll be famous anyway. I know you love to chat me, but you ain't got no real shit to say. Keep on talking, do your thing, guess your way through life, cause I'll be famous anyway.
Times, 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 times,
times,
times,
times,
times, times, times, times, times, times, worldwide hip-hop.
Quit the jibber-jabber, let's just buy some shit that really matter, man. You have a plan for flaming my name, but scared to battle, and that's the smartest thought you ever had. You ain't a clever lad, just getting mad at the better man about whatever. Don't be messing with the nerdy rotten scoundrel. Grow you on your own, my free folk is all around you. Talk shit and feel my sick click quickly. Rip you to bits and beat the chitlins to six skins. I got that IQ that blinds you, rewind you, delete that. Think twice, still want it, you should think thrice. I bring the automatic slaughter for a mortar rapper. Board I might record a rap, the shorter, flatter border rapper. Keyboard attacker, but you're laying behind your alias. I'm in Australia, but the world's within my radius. Don't try to blame me for the board and pack the game. Just retract the flame because you can't afford to chat my name.
I know you love to chat my name, but you ain't got no real shit to say. Keep on talking, do your thing, guess your way through life, cause I'll be famous anyway. I know you love to chat my name, but you ain't got no real shit to say. Keep on talking, do your thing, guess your way through life, cause I'll be famous.
Buttons, you smashed it. Genius, technical genius. Oh, we got it yet, Matt?
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. Nerdy Show is made possible by A Comic Shop, Nerdapalooza, My Footmen, and the generous support of listeners like you. How nice it is that you have money to give. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend, rating and reviewing us on iTunes, or making a contribution in our monthly support drive, which helps our valets. Very much so. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support to chip in. For more episodes of Nerdy Show, as well as other fine programming, community forums, videos and articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store. And for the latest news, follow us on all your favorite social networks. We can save the Abbey together.
And taking us out, we've got a track called Fuck You. Hex isn't here. Help Hex. Please help us find a track about Legos. Goodbye.
can we actually sing that?
By Adam Warrock.
Well, okay, here's the thing though. Hex does a lot of tracks by Adam Warrock. And you know what happens when Hex isn't helping me find a track and I need a track for something? I too search Adam Warrock and I get what I need.
He has a lot of tracks.